It's our custom here in the church to stand during the scripture reading. This scripture, John 1:43-51, takes up just where last week's scripture left off. It's in your insert in the bulletin if you'd like to read along, or if you prefer, it's on page 43 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open up and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
For the past several weeks, we've been working our way through the first chapter of the Gospel of John. Today's reading takes us to the end of the chapter. It's the fourth day now in John's series of days that open the Gospel. Each section opens with the words, "the next day," and so that's how our reading for today begins as well. Then John tells us that Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. Up to this point, the story has been taking place at the Jordan River in Judea, the area where John the Baptist was carrying out his ministry. And now the action moves up north to Galilee, closer to where Jesus was raised and where his first miraculous sign will be performed in the next chapter, Cana of Galilee. But before going there, the gospel tells us he found Philip. Jesus found Philip. We often talk about finding Jesus. We search for Jesus. We find Jesus. My favorite line from the movie Forrest Gump is when Lieutenant Dan is going through a personal crisis following the war. He's lost both of his legs. He's lost his sense of identity. He's turned to drink, and he asks Forrest Gump, "Forrest, have you found Jesus?" You remember Forrest's answer? "Well, I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him." It's a funny line, but, you know, there's some truth in it. Because the fact is, we don't so much find Jesus as Jesus finds us. Jesus found Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me." In this story, the call to discipleship follows the same pattern that it does in the other Gospels. Jesus comes upon a person that seemingly has no idea who he is, no introduction. He says, "Follow me," and they drop everything and follow. We saw with the disciples on the previous day that they did have some sense of who Jesus was. John the Baptist told Andrew and John, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Andrew went and told Peter, "We found the Messiah." We have found the Messiah. There's that finding Jesus thing again. But truthfully, they didn't find him. They were pointed to him. John the Baptist pointed them to him. It's like you're having an Easter egg hunt, and there's this little kid that's too small to really even seek for the eggs. And so you point one out to the little kid, and you say, "Look, there's one right there." And the kid says, "I found it." Yeah, they found the Messiah after John the Baptist pointed straight at him and said, "Look, there he is." But with Philip, there's no pointing, there's no seeking, there's no introduction. There's just the initiative of Jesus. Jesus wanted to go into Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." What that tells us, along with all the other gospels that tell the story in the same way, is that the initiative in our salvation is always with Jesus. He is the one out hunting for us, like a shepherd out hunting for the sheep that has gone astray. He is the one calling to us before ever we cry out to him. He is the one inviting us before we even know we need him. It is all about God's grace in Jesus Christ. That's why we baptized little Colton this morning. I can guarantee you, Colton wasn't out searching for Jesus. God went out ahead of him and lay claim upon him. God's grace is always primary. The call of Christ precedes any good that we can ever do. Jesus found Philip. And then look at what Philip immediately does. Verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and the prophets, Jesus, Joseph's son from Nazareth." I love that. Philip says, "We have found him." After John already told us directly that Jesus found Philip. But what's important here is that Philip didn't keep it to himself. He couldn't keep it to himself. As soon as he realized who Jesus was, he had to go out and tell someone else, bring someone else along. So he went out and told Nathanael. Nathanael was initially unimpressed, not unimpressed with Jesus. He hadn't even met Jesus yet. He was unimpressed by what Philip told him about Jesus. In addition to calling him the one Moses wrote about in the law and the prophets, he went on to call him Jesus, Joseph's son from Nazareth. Now, we already know from the prologue of John's gospel that that is not really an accurate description of who Jesus is. Remember, John's gospel is very concerned with making explicit who Jesus is and where he comes from. That's essential to believing in Jesus, knowing who he is and where he comes from. John put the prologue there so that we would know right up front at the start of the gospel who Jesus is and where he comes from. So we already know that Jesus is not really Joseph's son, and Nazareth is not really his home. Nathanael's response highlights the inadequacy of identifying Jesus in this way. Nazareth? Could anything good come from Nazareth? Now, I don't want you to get the idea that Nazareth is an awful place and that there's no good people there. Nazareth was just an ordinary town in Galilee, just like all the others. But even as we today have our own regional prejudices, they did back then too. Everyone was convinced that their town was the best. It's like that line from the old musical, "Meet Me in St. Louis." And the girl says, "Aren't I lucky that I was born in my favorite city?" This exchange between Philip and Nathanael would be kind of like going up to an OSU fan and saying, "We found the Messiah. He's from Ann Arbor, Michigan." Can anything good come from Ann Arbor, Michigan? Now, there's nothing objectively wrong with Ann Arbor, Michigan, but as a Buckeyes fan, that's hard for me to admit. Regional prejudices aside, though, that's not really the point, because Jesus isn't from Ann Arbor, Michigan or Columbus, Ohio. He's not even from Nazareth or even from Bethlehem. Jesus is the eternal Son of God who existed before the foundations of creation were laid. Jesus comes from God. And so Nathanael is soon to find out. But before he finds out, his friend Philip has one more thing to say. Come and see. Come and see. You remember those words. They were the same words of invitation that Jesus extended to his first disciples when they asked where he was staying. Come and see. It was his way of inviting them into discipleship. Now Philip offers those exact same words of invitation to Nathanael. What's just as important, though, is what Philip doesn't say. He doesn't argue with Nathanael. He doesn't try and convince him that Nazareth isn't really that bad after all. He doesn't try and persuade him that his prejudice is unfounded. He doesn't try to reason with Nathanael. He doesn't give him a whole list of doctrinal arguments about why Jesus is the Messiah. He simply says, come and see. Come and see for yourself. Give Jesus a try and find out for yourself what you think of him. That should give us some pause to consider how it is that we try to convince others of our faith. At the end of the day, we can't really convince others of our faith. We can only point them to the one who will give them faith. Very few people have ever been argued into being a Christian. Most people who are truly Christian believe because at some point in some way, Jesus got a hold of them. Jesus found them. Our part in that is simply to offer the invitation. Here is where I found my hope. Here is where I found salvation. Here is where I came across the fount of life. Come and see. Come and see. And so Nathanael did. A simple and humble invitation works so much better than any argument. Nathanael accepted the invitation to give Jesus a try, to find out for himself. And again, we see that Jesus was out ahead of the whole thing. Before Nathanael ever reached out to Jesus, Jesus recognized him and addressed him as a true and honorable man, a genuine Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael, of course, wants to know how Jesus knows him. They've never met before. They're from different towns. Certainly Nathanael was flattered by what Jesus said, but still he wanted to know on what basis was Jesus saying it. If someone you've never met before, who doesn't know you from Adam as far as you're aware, he comes up to you and says, you know, you're just a really terrific person. You're genuine, honest, and faithful. Well, you're going to be flattered, of course, but you're also going to say, how do you know me? That's what Nathanael asks. How do you know me? And Jesus answers, before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree. Now, this can be a somewhat baffling statement if you don't realize what's going on here. This is not the case that Jesus happened to be walking by and happened to notice Nathanael sitting under the fig tree and later recognized him as the one sitting under the fig tree when Philip brought him to Jesus. He's not talking about having been in the same vicinity and having seen Nathanael sitting there a couple of hours ago. If that were the case, then Nathanael's confession would make absolutely no sense at all. Nathanael is overwhelmed by Jesus' answer. So overwhelmed that he immediately confesses Jesus to be the Son of God, the King of Israel. That is a far cry from, can anything good come from Nazareth? To go all at once from doubting Jesus to believing in Jesus just because Jesus saw him under a fig tree? That's quite a dramatic conversion. The reason for Nathanael's dramatic conversion is because Jesus and Nathanael had been nowhere near each other before Philip called Nathanael. Jesus didn't see him with his physical eyes. He saw him by seeing into his heart. Sitting under the fig tree was considered a place of peaceful meditation. No doubt while sitting under the fig tree, Nathanael had spent at least some of that time in prayer, thanking God for his comfort, perhaps reflecting on the promises of God, perhaps contemplating the coming of the Messiah. And as he did that, Jesus saw him. In other words, Jesus tells Nathanael, while you were sitting under that fig tree praying, I was listening. I heard your prayers. I was there with you. I was the one you were talking to when you didn't even know it. It was that realization that Jesus saw him wherever he went, that Jesus heard him whenever he prayed. That was what brought out that great confession, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. He didn't come to that belief because Philip convinced him, but he did come to that belief because Philip invited him. Philip invited him, and then he saw for himself. And he came to that belief because Christ went out ahead of him, drawing him in. Before Nathanael had any clue who Jesus was watching over him. And friends, the same is true for you and for me. Before any of us had a clue about Jesus, Jesus was already watching over us. Not one of us ever found Jesus before Jesus found us. Not one of us ever came to Jesus before he prepared the way for us. And the same is true for all the people who don't yet know Jesus. They don't know him yet, but he already knows them. He sees them. He hears them. They have not come to him yet, but he is already preparing the way. They have not found him, but he is already out seeking for them. Last week, we encouraged you to invite someone to church with you this month. Next week, we start into our back to church focus. Perhaps you've already extended the invitation. Perhaps you're still considering who it is you want to invite, how you want to invite them. Here's what I want you to know from our scripture for today. Whoever it is that comes to your mind to invite, Christ has already gone out ahead of you. The Spirit of Christ is going before you to prepare the way. Philip reached out to Nathanael. Was that a coincidence? No, that wasn't a coincidence. Philip reached out to Nathanael because Jesus was calling to Nathanael, drawing Nathanael in. Philip didn't know it at the time. Nathanael didn't know it until Jesus told him he saw him under the fig tree. But Christ knew it all along. So don't worry. Don't worry about how they will respond or if they will respond. Don't try to argue with anyone or try to convince anyone that your way is the right way. The invitation is simple. Come and see. Come and see. The rest is in Christ's hands. Let us simply do our part.